It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right, yeah!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Show.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Joining us now, the man, the myth, the legend, NBC Sports and Pro Basketball Talk.com. It is Kurt Heelan. Kurt, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Doing very well. All right. So, you know, if there was a game four that I thought was going to end in a sweep, I thought it was going to be in the East, not the West, but the Lakers are done, and it is Boston that live to play another day. They're 8-point favorites tonight at home against Miami. Do you feel like Boston can send this back to Miami for Game 6?
I think they can. Gabe Vincent being out now with the sprained ankle does certainly matter. I mean, Gabe's been part of the hot shooting. He's frankly just outplayed Marcus Smart, right? Like, he's been fantastic. Yeah. So him being out and now them having to rely on Kyle Lowry is a risk. And that said, I guess, you know what? It's like that 8 points. I'm like, man, do I trust Boston? I guess that's really, I mean, I got a feeling the Heat are going to bring a little more focus. And I think Boston at their best can send it back. They've been at their best when their backs are against the wall. Just don't trust them. I just don't. So my guess is they send it back, but I think it's going to be closer than people think. I don't think this is some sort of, like, Miami's just not going to roll over. They had their bad game. They kind of had a bad shooting game. I think that this is a tough one. Big picture, you trust Boston to put together 3 more good games in a row?
No. Nope. And that's the thing, too. Boston, I mean, Miami's been shooting the ball so well in the series, and they had one dud. They shot, 8 of 32, 25%. But that's not going to happen again. I mean, they've been averaging, I think, well over 40% from the series. And if they shoot the ball well, it's lights out. And, yeah, they're not going to be duds 3 games in a row. It's just not going to happen.
No, and Boston shot 40% in this game, but they just haven't been consistent. It's been one of the Missoula things. He wanted to bring in the three ball more, and he did. But with that has just come the variance that comes when you shoot a lot of threes and you're not the Golden State Warriors. If you can shoot a lot of threes, but you've got to have other ways to get buckets. And they've just been way too reliant on the three this year. And they got away from, I mean, not to overanalyze the Celtics, but like last year they were just a defensive force. Like, they were going to win games with their defense, and then they were going to get some buckets. And this year they're just an offensive team, and then it's up and down.
So here comes Denver, and they're going to have to sit and wait regardless of, you know, and that's the thing. I guess when you deal with TVs, with the networks and stuff like that, you get slotted in for that game one. Was there any conversation about perhaps moving this game one up? Is that even remotely possible? I'm assuming no.
No, it has not. That conversation has not happened and was not going to happen this year. They used to send out, like, this is the start date for the finals, unless both series end, like, in a sweep or in five games, in which case we're going to bump it up 2 days, and this is the start date for the finals. But what I was told was it's not even ABC like not liking that, which, you know, obviously they don't love it. No network loves it. It's the bigger issue was international. This is such a huge international broadcasting, and they want the date set in the same way that, you know, the Champions League in soccer. I'm trying to think of major international events or the Super Bowl. Hey, you know what it is. And so they don't change it anymore. This year, when the season schedule came out and the dates for the season came out, the final started June 1st, and they were going to start June 1st regardless. And it's just, for the NBA, I think it's become too big to move. So they're living with it.
So does that help or hurt Denver? I mean, the old rest versus rust argument, they've been playing so well and have been so dominant in the first three series and taking in over a week's rest. Does that concern you at all if you're a Nuggets fan?
Probably a little, but at this time of year, I don't know. There's a trade-off there of just some rest, like you said, just getting some rest, like just getting your bodies right.
Yeah.
You've just gone through a few series and it's been physical. So I don't think it bothers them that much. I don't think it's at this time of the season, it's going to take them long to get, you know, back in. And I don't, unless that other series goes seven until Monday night, like kind of a healthy gap for, if it ends tonight, it's a healthy gap for Miami. And even if it goes till Saturday, that's probably about the ideal gap, isn't it? About 4 days, 10 to 5 days. Like, you get some rest, but you don't really lose anything. This is a little longer, but after counting everything with preseason, what are they at, 100 games and change, whatever number they're at, like, I think they'll pull it together.
So you tell me if I'm wrong. You're in California, and you cover, you know, you have access to Lakers far more than we do, but I know LeBron took a lot of heat because people thought when he was talking retirement that everybody's, oh, it's LeBron being LeBron and making it about him, and he's just trying to get attention on him. But when you listen to the comments, and we played it a few times, it really felt like it was a stream of conscience. Like he was just talking what was on his mind. And I think he just saw his good friend retire in Carmelo. I think that he was beat up. He was tired. He's worn out. He's 38 years old. And I think in his mind, he truly thought, like, I'm going to consider retirement. Now, honestly, I don't think there's any way it ever happens, but I think there was some genuine thought there at that moment when he was talking about spending some time and thinking about it.
That is why you are one smart man, right, Scotty, right there? Because, I was in the room, and I was at the game. I was in the room when he started talking about this. Everybody kind of looked at each other for half a second, like, is he going where I think he's going with that? But it really genuinely was, I think, just that. I think it was a combination of exhaustion. I mean, remember, all but 40 seconds of game four. And by the way, I only think he skipped those last 40 seconds of the first half to avoid the halftime interview walk-off, like, just so he didn't have to deal with it. I genuinely think he took himself off and went straight to the locker room so that they couldn't get in for that. He was exhausted. He was frustrated. And I think that that's part of it. And Carmelo, I think, does factor in. But I think the frustration is the key here. I think, to me, again, 40.1, was one assist or one rebound short of a triple-double. Huge night. And they lose. And he's like, we're not good enough. And I think that mostly what this was just that. This was a shot across the bow to the front office of, hey, we're not good enough. We did better. You did great at the trade deadline. I'm out here as your best player and shot creator when I probably have to have off-season foot surgery. You got to get some more people. And I think that that's genuinely what it was.
You know, if you look at their off-season, they actually have some flexibility. I mean, obviously LeBron and AD are eating up a lot of the cap. But other than that, it's pretty wide open to try to get something going and be aggressive.
A little bit, yes. But their problem is, If they have two plans, they could strip this thing down of their depth and go get another shot creator. But I don't think that that's the route they go, A, because they just did that. Like, how'd that Russell Westbrook thing work out for you? I don't think they're going to give up their depth for this. I think they are hell-bent on keeping Austin Reeves, and it probably is going to cost them because somebody is going to come in big with them. And, you know, the teams with cap space, like, You know who could use a guard like Austin Reaves? You look really good in San Antonio right now with Devin Vassell and everybody and next to Wembanyama. Like, suddenly, that's an interest. Like, somebody's going to come after him. Maybe it's Houston, maybe it's Orlando. And they're going to have to pay up to keep him. If they want to keep him and Rui, that wipes out trying to go get, I don't really think they'd go after. I know that the front office was cool on the idea of Kyrie Irving, but going and getting somebody in a free agent, with Fred VanVleet, whoever, going and getting somebody as a free agent, I think it's going to be them trying to make a trade, though. I think they pick up Michael Beasley's $16 million option, largely because they can then send it out with something. But I think that they realized, look, Anthony Davis is Anthony Davis. He can be an elite player. He can be an all-NBA level player. He doesn't create his own shot. It was Austin Reaves and LeBron creating shots, and you're going to have to get somebody else into that mix. Because LeBron, again, 39 next year with all those miles, you can't ask them to do this like that.
Yeah. So you're not buying the Kyrie stuff? I know he was sitting courtside for a couple games there in L.A. You're not buying that?
I think Kyrie would like it. I think LeBron would like it. I know that the Lakers are cool on the idea. And again, if bringing back Reaves and Hachimura is the goal, and I know that's the front office isn't just giving lip service to we want to bring them back. If that's the goal, then they just went out of, unless Kyrie Irving wants to come there and play for the mini mid level exception or something, like, unless he's willing to just take a massive pay cut, I don't think it's going to happen. People I've talked to around the league just think he ultimately re-signs in Dallas, and Dallas probably trades him, but it's just they need him. He needs money. He wants 3 years. It'd be something like that. I don't know. By the way,
so if you bring back,
I'd give him 3 years, but there you are.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I mean, but if you bring back Rui and you bring back Reaves, then essentially you're running it back. And then if I'm LeBron, I'm looking around and saying, okay, well, outside of that trade you mentioned, I don't know how come. Yeah. I mean, we'll be at best a 6 seed, maybe a 5 seed, and then probably a first or second round exit.
You just can't, as much as you can get, look, this is what they can be, and what we saw, this is what we can be with peak LeBron and peak Anthony Davis. They're both going to miss 20 games next year because, I mean, I'm forgiving LeBron for that a little bit because, again, I mean, it's not like he hasn't been durable over the course of his career. But they're going to miss time, and they can't carry that. Anthony Davis can't, and LeBron, just at this point, can't carry that kind of load. It's what D'Angelo Russell gave them in the regular season, but he's got to this series, and it was just a bad matchup for him, and I'm not sure he's I'm not sure if he's back at the pro. I mean, somebody's going to give him $20 million a year, and I'm not sure that's going to be the Lakers. And by the way, it shouldn't be Utah either.
What does Jordan Clarkson look like on this Laker roster?
See, that's the kind of guy they could use. Somebody who could come in and a sixth man of just like, hey, come in with this second unit. Here's the ball. Go nuts. I genuinely, that's somebody they could use, a true, what do you call it, a volume scorer off the bench, an old school Lou Williams type. Like, just go. You just go get buckets.
Yeah.
I think that they need that in that second unit, somebody who can keep that second unit close by just lighting it up. And I think they'll be a very good defensive team next year. The depth is an issue.
Kurt Helin, NBC Sports and ProBasketballTalk.com joining us. Kurt, when you look at kind of the landscape of what's going on right now in terms of the Jazz, I don't think they'll be selecting 3 first-round picks. I think there's going to be some movement there. What kind of considering the bevy of picks that they have, if they wanted to move up, how high do you think they realistically could? 5, 6? I mean, I don't think they certainly can't get top 3, but could they move up to 5 if they wanted to?
4 is available. As well, Houston, but they're going to ask a lot, too. I'm not sure if you can get there. But some teams, Houston, maybe. I mean, this is something where you're going to have to throw in a sweetener. It's not just going to be picks for picks. You're going to have to throw in a player. But Houston, if they get James Harden, and I think I've said this on the show before, but I'll say it here again. that's not just smoke. That the Houston Harden is. I don't know that it's going to happen, but there is fire there. That's not just a, that's not just a smoke. If they're looking to bring in veterans, and they can, you can package two for one. Like they'd be, if you can send them somebody who can help them put depth around that and a pick. You know, they'd seriously consider that kind of thing. And then you get up to four. Six is definitely available. Orlando's looking. I don't think Orlando's dying to pick 6 and 11. So it kind of depends on what you throw at them too. But there are certainly picks available. Three is going to be pricey, just because. Just more than I think you're willing to give up, because you're getting a very, I mean, if Steve Henderson falls to that spot, you're getting a really good player. And even if Brandon Miller falls, you're getting a really good player. And they want players who help them now. Maybe, I mean, you've got to, you'd have to give up a lot of depth to get there. You'd have to give up real quality, because they still want to re-sign Jeremy Grant. They've got Anthony Simons, and they still want to chase it right now with Damian Lillard. They're not looking to move on.
With that said, how surprised would you be if Portland picks at three? Because it does seem like they want to move that thing in terms of a veteran that can help them win right away.
It's not crazy. I ultimately, this comes down to this is an ownership level decision. Generally, I'm a fan of, man, let the basketball people make the basketball decision. Stay out of the way. Hey, Ryan Smith, you brought in Danny Ainge. Get out of Danny Ainge's way. But there's times Danny Ainge has to go to Smith. I mean, you obviously the owners talk to him, but there's times like, hey, this is your call. Do you want to get out of the Damian Lillard business? Is ownership level call. And if you are thinking of doing that, then Scoot Henderson's great. And frankly, even in a little bit in a transition, I don't think they'd trade him automatically this summer. Scoot Henderson in the backcourt with him, and then Jeremy Grant up front, like it suddenly... That's not a bad team in the short term. It's not going to be enough to keep Damian Lillard happy long term, but you can sell that for now and then trade him, you know, at the deadline or next summer or whatever. And by the way, people didn't watch him. He made All-NBA for a reason. I think he did make All-NBA this year. I know I voted him in. He was really good this year. They were terrible. He was amazing.
Yeah. So, I call, 30-plus college basketball games a year for Utah State. I saw the rule that college basketball put in with the technical awarded to a flop. Absolutely hated it. I know the NBA is flirting with it and might, test it out during Summer League. I'm telling you, Kurt, it's awful. It's awful. And if they do it for a year, it's going to go away.
What did you dislike about it? Because my first thought was that I know that everybody said hallelujah, but I'm like, the devil's in the details of what it ultimately looks like.
Well, okay, so first off, it slows the game way down, because especially the first part of the season, it's going to be a point of emphasis, so they're going to call it like crazy. Yeah. And frankly, I think it's a disservice to the official, because you're asking your official to judge intent, and especially with the archaic charges that get taken all the time in college, you're essentially, if a guy flops, more often than not, he's going to give up a bucket if you don't call it, and then you're adding a free throw on top of it. So when we're incentivizing guys to try to draw charges and get in there and take contact, but if they don't do it right, then they're going to get hit with a flop. I say the way to avoid flopping is, hey, look, don't make any call. Don't call a foul, and then have a 5-on-4 advantage, which usually leads to a layup. So... I just think it slows the game down. It puts the officials in a bad spot. There's going to be a ton of really controversial calls that are going to be that everybody's going to hate. It's just, it muddies up the water. I understand why you want to do it, and I get the intent of doing it, but the execution, like you said, the devil's in the details. It does not translate as well as people think it will.
Yeah, because my first thought was, too, when I really started to think about it, I'm like, well, you just added three reviews a game.
Like, yes.
At least early in the season. And then that you're trying to get away from those. So, that makes sense.
So do you think it's likely?
Not in the short term. Like you said, they might try it out at Summer League. If they tolerate it at Summer League, it gets rolled into next G League season. Like, I think that's something you work out at a lower level before you bring it. But, man, it's... that's easy to say at the G League level where the games are, I mean, there's cameras at the games, but it's very different than the NBA level where there's a lot more cameras, a lot more bright lights, but also it's, like you said, you're judging intent, and it's hard with the, even the camera angles. Marcus Smart doesn't just flat-out flop. He just wildly exaggerates contact. But there's contact. Yeah. Like, so what is, hey, that guy was a little off balance and fell versus a flop. Versus, I mean, yeah. I think, like you said, I just don't think there's going to be, rarely are, I mean, you can tell a flop when you see it sometimes, but it's not always a clear, bright line like people like to think it is.
All right, finally, a lot is, you know, Lisa Salter took a lot of, she got beat up pretty good considering the fact that she said, well, I haven't watched Jokic play a lot, and boy, he's a really good player. And yeah, it's a bad look. You don't admit to that, even if it's true, you don't admit to it because it's your job to keep track. But are the Denver Nuggets, have they been disrespected by the league and the national talking heads? And, because right now there's this cry for, hey, let's stop talking about the Lakers and stop talking about the team that beat them in four games.
Yeah, I think that part of I can't believe she kind of said that publicly, but I'm not sure people. I say that saying, have you watched Inside? I love Inside the NBA. Those guys don't watch that much basketball, man. Like, they really don't.
No.
It's a great barbershop talk show, but. Good Lord, the knowledge can be painful at that. They play a whole game about, well, I was about to say they play a whole game of who's he play for, but honestly, occasionally those guys are like, yeah, who does he play? Like, even though that's right, he switched teams this summer too. Like, yeah. That said, I think I think this is good for the league in this sense. And there is no way the suits at ABC were rooting for Denver Miami out of this outcome, out of the possibilities. But I think it's good for the league to get this guy on this stage because he is not only just so much fun to watch, but also he's a fun guy. He's a fun interview. He is entertaining. He's got a little Tim Duncan. I don't really want the spotlight that much. I don't care about the spotlight, but he's entertaining and fun. Look, I was watching him warm up before game four, and you know, every team's got to have a 6'9" assistant trainer out there so that, there's 6'10" guys, so somebody's got the big guy's got somebody to bang on a little bit. And that guy had to step away for, I don't know, whatever reason, he stepped away. So Jokic's last play, like, of warm-ups, kept some 6'3" assistant trainer on him, just backs the guy. He's working on post moves. He just backs the guys down and dunks on him, then looks at the assistant trainer and gives him the too short and laughs and walks off. They're all DeAndre Jordan's cracking up on the sidelines. Like, everybody's having a good time. Like, that personality, you just don't see it enough from them because he's not out in social media the same way. But I think on this stage, people get a sense of, like, he's really fun. He's a great guy. So hopefully we get to see more of this. But I think you're right. I think they got ignored partially because there was so much other drama. Everybody else, the Lakers are always drama. Kevin Durant's getting traded into the conference. There's everything going on with Memphis. So the top teams, the biggest names in the West, were kind of dramatic. And Denver just kept winning and doing it kind of quietly and happily out of the spotlight, and now can complain that they weren't in the spotlight.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think they were too bummed out about it during the regular season, and now they can use it to their advantage. Like, nobody thought we'd be here. So,
hey, if there's one thing, I was about to say professional athletes in general, but professional athletes in particular are good at, it's straw man arguments to fire themselves up.
Oh, yeah. Well, always a pleasure, Kurt. Thanks for your time, and look forward to catch up with you again next week.
Look forward to it, Scotty. Take care of yourself, man.
You got it. There he is, Kurt Helin, NBC Sports and ProBasketballTalk.com. Hanging out live here at the Warehouse, 1825 South, 300 West. Sorry, I didn't catch that. We got Memorial Day savings going on right now. This is a big, big holiday, Tom. Tom's hanging out with us right now. Tom, I tell you what, some of the savings that you're throwing out, that last call is absolutely ridiculous, but it seems like you keep adding to it every time you chime in.
Well, let's add to it right now, Scotty. I'm going to do Queen. This is a 10.5-inch. They call it a 10.5-inch. Everybody else would call it an 11-inch. coil mattress. This is the mattress everybody promotes at $399. I've got 40 of them, and I need space. So, Mike, sit down and get ready, because we're going for $169. We did it one weekend for $199, and it was crazy. We're going to do the Miranda for $169. Let's say you want a King or a Cal King mattress. I've got name brand Sealy. I'm not supposed to say that, Scotty. Don't tell anybody I said Sealy.
It's our secret. We're good.
Cal King Sealy's. I probably have 10 to choose from. We're going to go nuts, Mike. Don't get mad again at me. Just get off your butt and sell them. $299. And then I've got King Sealy's, and we're going to start those at $399. These are mattresses that the warehouse clubs right across the street or right next to a Sam's Club would sell for $1,199. If it's their big sale, $999. I'm going $399. Then if you want the super nice, we talked about last break, the beautiful Simmons. I'm going to do that Simmons again, the Beyond, and I'm going to do it for $699. Everywhere, if you look it up, it's like $34.99 for a queen. Well, I have some Kings, and I'm going to call them Stearns and Fosters and Beautyrest Blacks. Instead of $6,000, we're going to do them for $10.99. We have them marked $14.99. Mike, you're going to have to take $400 off. You'll get these deals if you mention Scotty G. Or mention that we have a new website, thewarehouseboom.com. Come and see us. This is the best week. Next break, we're going to hit upholstery, Scotty. I saw your text message. I sent you a note. So check that out and let me know if that's okay. Come and see us.
That was
your warehouse.
Let's just say I got my eyes on a couch here, and I've got about another hour and a half left of the show. This is a beautiful couch, and you may have a chance to get it if you can get down here in the next 90 minutes. If it's not, it may be coming to my house. So just letting people know that the booms are real. Trust me on this. And, it's awesome, Tom. I love it, man. You guys are killing it. Let's come on down here, hang out, 1825 South, 300 West. It's all right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
Joining us now, of course, you hear him alongside Scott Girard from noon to 3. He is also the radio analyst for the BYU Cougars, former Cougar himself, Hans Olsen.
That's one thing they're going to have a lot of, Jake, is lot of great blocking. This is probably going to be BYU's best offensive line in their history.
Wow, that's saying a lot. You were on those 90s teams, too, that had those Mahler offensive lines.
And they were special. And Roger French was churning out a draft pick every year. Well, now BYU's starting to churn out a draft pick every year off the offensive line. You've got depth, you've got studs, you kind of got it all across the front. And I think if these guys stay motivated and they stay focused, I think this could be your best offensive line that you've had.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
It is the good, it's the bad, it's the ugly. It's all right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All right. Lloyd, let's start with the New York Giants and Darren Waller. He is a new man. Said about transitioning into playing with the Giants. He goes, yeah, they value our opinions here. This is incredible. As a player, I feel like the place I've gone, you're told to do things a certain way and you do those things. But here, they ask a lot of questions. They want to know what you're thinking. They want you to do more. So to offer input is a really cool thing because coaches and players have to be in a partnership. They're all in this together and shouldn't be clashing with each other. It's not a dictatorship. You're not just told what to do and then told to shut up. We're all going in the same direction. This is a breath of fresh air. That's awesome. Hey, Lloyd, where did Waller play before?
Oh, he played with the Raiders.
Where was he at?
But I'm sure pretty much every NFL team is a dictatorship anyways. Let's be honest.
Not the Giants, apparently.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Apparently the Giants are a breath of fresh air.
I'm sure.
And that
that's always what it is when somebody goes somewhere new. What a breath of fresh air. This is exciting. How about you try playing a little bit? Injured all last year anyways. After a contract year. Shocker.
Good player, Lloyd. Okay. All right. Well, geez. I didn't think you'd turn as angry as you have, but okay. I thought it was a good story. It's a good young man who's now in an organization that values his feedback. All right. Well, all right. Speaking of feedback, let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Lloyd,
Las
Vegas Raiders story. Josh McDaniel.
Another Raiders story. Here we go.
Said on Thursday he had no issue with all-pro receiver Devontae Adams apparently venting, saying he did not see eye-to-eye on the direction of the franchise. Said that he clashed with ownership, he clashed with management, and he clashed with the head coach. But Josh McDaniels said, I respect the hell out of anything Devontae would say or suggest. During the course of the process and trying to improve our team, which I know where Devontae comes from. He's a competitor. He wants to win. He's been a tremendous leader again for this spring for our football team. But Devontae Adams says his thoughts and opinions really weren't taken into consideration. And he, again, quote, said, we just were not eye to eye on the direction of this team. Is there a theme here, Lloyd?
How about you just shut up and play? How about you worry about that, Devontae?
He's a six-time All-Pro receiver. Like he's pretty good, Lloyd.
Still, you would think shut that maybe up if he, and play, make plays.
If he had some opinions that you may want to hear what he had to say, I don't know who would you trust more, Devontae Adams or Josh McDaniels, as to what good football looks like.
I'm gonna go with new ownership in Tom Brady. That's where I'm going. That's who I trust.
You think that's gonna help things out there?
I have no idea. I don't know.
I had no idea that this was the theme of today's show. I just randomly picked up some stories today.
You did, and that's okay.
All right, well,
and that's fine.
Okay. I'm sorry about that. That's my bad.
It's fine. It's okay.
All right. Well, let's get to the.
Do we even need to even say ugly? So I'm guessing it's the Raiders.
Let's just move on. Let's see what happens.
And of course, the ugly.
Hands, by the way, would not be happy with what you're doing to his Raiders. He would not be happy.
Okay.
It's a good thing he's not committed to the show.
Yeah. Well, this is unfortunate that this came up on the ugly, but just coming off a 3-year, $72 million contract with the Las Vegas Raiders. Jimmy Garoppolo apparently has injured his left foot. Apparently, surgery may be needed, but he suffered the injury week 13 against San Francisco and is not really improved. So surgery has happened on that injured left foot and may keep him out for the first 7 to 8 weeks of the season. Okay, that part might be a bit of an exaggeration. But, Lloyd, you just signed a 3-year, $72 million deal with a guy.
Did you not do your research? Was there not a physical?
You can't tell him to shut up and play because he can't play.
He literally can't.
Has a broken foot.
That's okay, because all he's there is to look good anyways. That's a handsome man right there.
He is a handsome fella. I just don't know if he's going to deliver you guys wins or not. Is there a rule against Tom Brady actually coming out of the ownership booth in one of the most amazing
Jordan Schultz already tweeted. Did you see Jordan Schultz tweet earlier about it?
I did, and I meant to actually kind of read into it. I didn't have a chance to really delve into what he posted. Did you see it?
I did not.
So there's a possibility?
I have not delved into it as well, but apparently this is – to be honest with you, when I read his tweet, I was like, oh, Jordan, come on. Here we go again. We got to bring this Tom Brady thing in again.
May not be a bad idea. You may not have options here.
There might not be.
Yeah. This could be a problem for you. If Janine Garofalo cannot play, who's your backup now?
I don't even know. I'm not going to lie. I don't even know. I don't. It's not that
the Broncos stole Stidham.
Yeah, Stidham's gone. So I don't even know who the backup is now. You know what? They drafted somebody. They did draft somebody. They drafted a quarterback from Vanderbilt, I believe.
Oh, okay. That's going to work out well.
Good. I don't have any idea.
Vanderbilt. We know about Vanderbilt.
Wasn't they a high-powered offense last year? No. Was it Vanderbilt? Who was it? Did Vanderbilt have a...
Jay Cutler.
Or maybe it was Wake Forest.
Jay Cutler was a Vanderbilt guy.
Maybe it was Wake Forest. Now I'm going blank on who it was. But they did draft somebody that was on a high-powered offense of the ACC.
Okay. Well, good. That's great. I'm sure that will all work out great for you. Everything's
I'm
be-
sure. Hey... At least we're not paying for a quarterback that doesn't do anything whatsoever. Didn't do anything last year.
Oh,
and you think you're putting all your eggs into the basket of a quarterback whisperer, as you call him. We'll see.
Sean Payton. Don't you disparage the good name of Sean Payton.
I'm going to laugh. You know you are putting so much out there, so much bad juju out there. There's going to be some bad things that happen to Broncos County.
It can't be any worse than last year, Lloyd. It can't. It's
Come
impossible
on.
For
Broncos
it to be worse
County.
Than last year.
Let's ride.
Let's ride. County?
You didn't notice that, did you?
Yeah, that was well done by you. I like that.
Did you notice the tweet?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
You can't be tweeting it. You don't be tweeting my kid.
Hey, I told him happy birthday.
When you guys, he gets saw.
You know what,
him,
though? Your boy trolls me more than anybody. And the fact you give him my number to troll me, not cool, dude.
It's a true story.
Troll me Christmas morning.
For Christmas a couple of years ago, I didn't give him a phone. I gave him like an iPod. But he had a texting ability. And the first thing he did on Christmas morning when he got the iPod was he texted Lloyd and said, Raiders suck.
Raiders stink.
That wasn't great. I admit. I should have probably had a little bit more.
You were so proud. Don't even go there. You were so proud.
When he asked for your number, I probably should have known something was up. He's like, oh, I want to wish him a Merry Christmas.
Right.
I'm like, okay, here you go. Yeah. All right, 150, Hans and Scotty. We're live here at the warehouse. Come on by, 1825 South, 300 West. By the way, that young man, it is his birthday today. He is turning 12 today. Lloyd, I'm telling
you. Don't say that.
Years go by
don't
fast.
Don't say that.
Yeah.
12.
Hans and Scotty. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Your home for Real Salt Lake is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
RSL dives back into MLS play with a trip to Minnesota Saturday night. The pregame show starts at 5:30, first kick at 6:30 here on the Zone.
Catch every moment of every RSL match right here on your exclusive home of Real Salt Lake. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. You've got you and me, brother, in our hands. You've got you and me, sister, in our hands. You've got you and me, brother, in our hands. We've got the whole
Hans and Scotty, 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone. It is Whole World News. Before we get to it, though, remember registration is now open for the Larry H. Miller Summer Games in Cedar City. Join nearly 10,000 athletes of all ages and abilities as they compete in over 40 different events this June. Register now at utahsummergames.org. That's utahsummergames.org. Lloyd, let's go to Texas. Marlin, Texas, to be exact. And let's just say the school system in Marlin may not be great. It's a tiny school. I thought I had I went to a small school up in the middle of nowhere, Idaho. I had a graduating class of like 65. Lloyd, you went to Murray. You probably had, what, 500-600 in your graduating class?
Yep, right around.
All right, well, this graduating class in Marlin, Texas, is only 33 people. The problem here is that they have now pushed back their graduation ceremonies a month. Why? Well, because as of right now, 28 of the 33 seniors at Marlin High School did not meet the graduation requirements due to the attendance or grades. So as of right now, only 5 seniors in Marlin High School are eligible to graduate. The other 28 cannot. So they said, all right, let's not get crazy here. Let's push graduation back a month, and let's try to find a way to get most of these kids eligible to graduate. That's not great.
No, that sounds like you're going to have to do a little bit of fudging numbers to get that to happen.
Hey, you know what, though? It'd be real easy to be like, hey, you know what? When you say, look, I graduated like top 5 in my class, or to be valedictorian. Like, there's, for those 5 that were able to do it, there's some opportunities there.
See, I'm fighting against this then. I'm fighting against this if I'm them.
In fact, Alondro Olivero is one of the 5 that met graduation requirements. She said that, quote, they told us that because of the students that did meet requirements, it wouldn't be fair for only 5 students to walk the stage. I would disagree. I would say, hey, no, look, I'm one of the 5 that did the work. Let me have my time to shine. Let us 5 walk across and then maybe, you know, extend a middle finger to the other 28 that couldn't get their stuff done.
Tell you what, that's a little selfish. Exactly. That's a little selfish by Marlin High School.
I agree.
Think about the other ones that actually busted their butt to get there.
Did their work.
Just because you're embarrassed because you guys didn't do your job to get these kids ready, that's a you problem.
And let's be honest here. I mean, come on. It's really not that hard to graduate high school.
Mm-mm.
No.
Just show up.
Just show up. That's all you got to do.
You only have to do that probably half the time.
Exactly. Well, Creighton's hanging out with us. How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Long time no see.
Happy to be here.
Oh, man, it's good to see your face. Hey, by the way, congratulations.
Thank you.
Tying the knot here in a month.
Getting it done. In a month, I'll be off the market. So, well, I'm already off the market, obviously. I'm engaged, but
long-term contract, no longer a free agent.
No longer a free agent. Signing bonus. I'm going to talk to my dad about what kind of signing bonus I can get, but hopefully here in the next 2 years, I'll have a little mini-me.
So the old man is in Chicago.
He's in the Chicago, and I heard him on the radio. I said, nah, I got to get down here. So I jumped in the car.
Yeah, so you can get crazy and offer all kinds of stuff without him knowing about it.
Well, that's the thing. I kind of like it when he's not here. I know he likes it when he's here and I'm here and we can, like, battle. But when he's not here, I got all the reins.
Yes.
All the power.
Yep.
So let's come out swinging.
What do you got for me?
We're going to go with our bread and butter. I just want to start with the split king adjustable base. I heard in a competitor, I was driving a U-Haul doing a drop last week, and I heard a competitor on the radio talk about split adjustable bases, and I almost laughed.
Yeah,
because of their prices. So I'm going to do something that not even my dad said or talked about today, and that's a king, split king adjustable base, meaning his or hers. And if you buy the base, I'm going to give you a free 12-inch infused mattress. And the price, remember this, write it down, under $1,000. $999, and that gets you two bases and a free mattress. It's a twofer. Buy one, get
really?
One free. Correct.
Wow.
$999.
For a split.
For a split king. You buy that base, I'll get you the free mattress. That's a 12-inch gel infused.
People are spending $5,000-$6,000 on stuff like that.
I know. That's why my dad's not here. He's freaking open the floodgates.
Let's go, man. I like it.
Speaking of floodgates, let's go to full. If you have that extra, you know, guest bedroom, you're a college student, you're moving out, you're like me, you're 30, you're not married yet, you get your own spot, come get a full adjustable. And we've never done this. I've never done a full adjustable deal like I'm about to do. My dad has written here $899.
Okay.
Buy the base, same as the Split King. Buy the base, get the gel mattress for free. He has written $899. Screw that. $699.
All right, so that's a adjustable full.
That's an adjustable full with a gel infused mattress on top.
So you're getting the mattress, you're getting the base for $699.
Correct. You buy the mattress, you buy the base, you get the mattress for free. That's the Clayton special. You come in, I love doing my own special. You come in, mention my name, Clayton special, you get the full base with the purchase of the full base, free full mattress at $699. And I have so many mattresses. We just got a truck in. My back fetching hurts from unloading the whole thing. I'm getting too old for this. Tell Tom to give me a raise. But last deal I'm going to talk about is a Demo Queen Beauty Rest Beyond mattress. And the reason why I can do this is because this mattress was shipped and scratched. The plastic was scratched, so the tag was nugged. Yeah. So I can talk about and say the brand. This mattress, you know, we've sold it here on special. My dad's given it to some friends, some family friends for $1,299. You come in, $899. This mattress is top tier, top of the line queen mattress. You need a queen mattress, don't go anywhere else. Come out with the old, in with the new, $899. You're going to get the best mattress you've ever slept on. Boom.
Wow. Boom indeed. Let's go. Clayton's not messing around. Old man's gone.
Never.
Time to go. It's right here on 97.5. We're live at the warehouse, 1825 South, 300 West, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.